Come on, how many feel as though they're free? No more bondage, no more chains. I'm free. Amen. The Bible says the Lord is their spirit. How many know the Lord is the spirit? And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is, we're free. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for the life. I'm free. Amen. Tonight we truly bless the Lord, and we thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. You know, one of the biggest things, we thank God for what he's doing, but mostly important, we thank God for the things that we see that he's not doing. Amen. God never slumbers nor sleeps.
Hallelujah.
So he's always doing something on our behalf. Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Actually, tonight I have prepared another message. Amen. But how many know it always changes?
Amen.
But this is how I decide which message to go on. As I was praying, I had actually prepared another message about looking to Jesus. Amen. When dealing with Peter, when he was walking on the water, and as I was praying today, the Lord, it was kind of comical the way it came about, but in the midst of the comedy, all the scriptures came with it. So I said, well, Lord, when you give me something like that, I know it's time to change. Ain't that right, Matt? Like how many of Minister Simon was praying, he kept saying the same Jesus. I said, Matt, you don't try to steal Minister Simon's message. Right? The same Jesus. Not a different Jesus, but the what? So when the Lord let it flow, amen. So our message, I give you the title of our message tonight, you know, and it was, I was praying and just dealing with some stuff in my mind, and this is the title of the message, amen. It said, you all beat up, and then nothing happened. You all beat up. Look at somebody, you know, you ever look at somebody and say, man, what happened to you? What have you been going through? You look like you got the weight of the world on your shoulder. You all beat up, and then nothing happened. And then the subtopic would be a mental beatdown. A mental beatdown. Ain't nothing happened, and you don't have a mind to lift your eyes to the heels of what's coming to your head. So, as the Lord gave it to me, I said, well, Lord, when he gave it to me in all the scriptures, I kind of laughed, because I think he was talking to me. But when the scriptures came, I said, I just deal with it, all right? So you all beat up. That's something, ain't it?
Right.
Amen. Like I said, we see somebody and say, wow, we know that brother. That's just, they're going through something because it's all over their face. And ain't nothing happening. Amen. So we're going to deal with the principle of it. Then we're going to find a scripture that supports the same thought, amen. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 12 through 15. And then actually, 2:5 is part of our model for this year. Let that mind be in you, which was also in. So we know that every battle that we fight, listen, not some battle, every battle we fought, fight is won or lost first in the mind. Every battle we fight is won or lost in the mind. Even the Lord himself, after he had consecrated himself and fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the devil appeared unto him in the mind. That's what the battle is. The devil was telling him one thing. He said, but it is written. The devil came at another angle. He said, I hear what you're saying, but it is written. So he always fights us in our mind. Amen. And we can be up on a mountain high and a little thought. Look at somebody tell them a little thought.
A little
threat. A comment, you'll lose it all. You all beat up. And ain't nothing happened. Amen. So we're going to read verses 12 through 15 and then we go through the scripture. Because these are the tactics that the devil uses against us in church. Nothing has happened, and all we can do is see the worst. Ain't nothing happened. You know, you see somebody walk along with a black eye and bloody nose, you know something? Happened. But ain't nothing touched us. excuse the English, but ain't this. Ain't nothing happened. Your nose, blood, eyes all beat up, and they're going to touch you. That's bad. You know, I say, wow, why do your eyes look so bad? Because you've been beating yourself up. Amen. Puffed up, blown up. Now, let's get to this. Amen. Verse 12 reads, wherefore, do y'all have the first? Amen. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with
fear.
Work out whose salvation?
Your own
salvation. Don't worry about anybody else's. But work out your own. Well, if Paul said, whether I'm present or absent, work on your salvation. Amen. A lot of times when there's spiritual people around, we work on our salvation, but when they're not, we let it down. Well, that's when the devil fights the most, when you let it down. Verse 13 read. For now, listen to this scripture. Why do we have to do this? For it's God that worketh in you, both the what? Will and to do of his own. When God is working in your behalf, it's not for your demise or your destruction, but he's working for his good pleasure. Bless the Lord. Do all things without murmurings and why? Because God is allowing it to happen. So God is either working something in you or God is working something
out of you.
So God is permitting it to happen. So he said, as long as God is permitting it to happen, it's for your good pleasure. So since it's for my good pleasure, then I do all things without murmuring and dispute. Right now, we all gonna suffer. Amen. Because when things don't go our way, boy, can we do some murmuring, complaining, and disputing? Amen. I mean, this is not in here. I'm talking about all those other people. Because they all do that. Amen. Verse 15. Why? That he may be blameless. And be what? When you don't murmur, when you don't dispute, when you don't create a mess when nothing has happened, it's that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked end, among whom you shine as. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word of the church, and the word of the Lord.
Blessed.
Already you may be seated. Amen. So the next time you look in the mirror and ain't nothing happened. Yeah, I don't talk about allergy season. You know, all right. You know we look all puffed up in allergy seasons, right? Well, I talk about you look in the mirror and your eyes, you can't even see your eyes because they're all puffed up. You can't even get no bearings or direction in your mind because it's all messed up. And ain't nothing. Nothing happened but the threat of what might be, or just even the thought of what someone else has done, allows us to be all beat up. Well, I'm beat up, messed up, but it's a mental beat down because nothing has happened. But the devil knows, as long as I can get your mind, as long as I can get you wrapped up in your troubles, as long as I get you not focusing on the deliverer, then I got you. But amen. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, to go along with, for it's God that worketh in you both the will and to do of his own good pleasure. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, in all things give.
Yes.
In what?
Oh.
All things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now the mistake we make in church is this. When God has blessed us, when God has mightily used us, we let our spiritual guards down. When God uses you, don't you know that's when the devil is the most angry? Mm-hmm. Amen. So you know what happens a lot of times in the other churches? We don't have that problem. Amen. Come on, y'all believe that. We don't have that problem. But in a lot of other churches, amen, people just won't do anything for God because of what their minds are telling them. Because of what they heard that somebody said, and ain't nothing happened. You down in the dumps, Amen. Say, wow, did you see, hey, we need to pray for brother and sister so-and-so, because I don't know what happened, but boy, when I saw them, they did not look happy. It ain't nothing physically happening. So where is the issue? Where is the battle? Where is the fight at? In the mind. Amen. Does not the scripture say the joy of the Lord is our? Well, what's the opposite of joy? A beatdown. You don't have no strength. You don't have a mind to do for God. You can't give God thanks in all things because you are beaten up in the mind. Amen. All beat up. Now, nobody ain't beat up. Y'all look all right. But look at somebody say, you all beat up. Come on, look at somebody say, you all beat up. It ain't nothing happening. Right? What you looking all beat up for? Amen. Ain't nothing happening because the Bible said, if God, listen, if God be for you, who then? So what the devil does is he twists that in our minds and say, God's not for me. And then you feel like everything is against me. I can't do anything. Well, the scripture says plainly, if God be, has God saved you? Has God filled you with the Holy Ghost? Amen. The Son said, he didn't bring us this far. He didn't build a home in us. Lord, make me your sanctuary. Amen. We need to get a mental advantage and realize whatever God permits in our lives to happen is for a reason. Amen. So whether you like it or not, still thank him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank him anyhow, because it could be a lot worse. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. So you all beat up. It's happened to all. Listen, as long as you live it, you got that fight. Amen. Every morning we wake up, there's a battle. When we go out through the day, it's a battle. And the battle is always in the mind. Before we go there, I'm going to read. This is an actual account of a study that was done concerning psychiatrists. He did it on people. Amen. This is an actual study. I'm going to read it for you. It said, and this is what a reputable physician said. He estimated that 75% of all people who visit physicians for professional service are suffering from hypochondria. What's that? Imaginary sickness. There's nothing there. They all beat up and where's it at? Now this is not my statistic. This is what the physician said. You know, they do all that trouble, they sit there and work with you, and they said 75% of all people that go to physicians are they're dealing with hypochondria. Amen. It said it's been shown most convincingly that the fear of disease or fear of anything else, even where there is not the slightest cause for fear, often produce the physical symptoms of what is feared. Do you understand that? So if you fear something, just that fear will produce the symptoms, though ain't nothing happening. This is what 75% of the physicians have said. Amen. So it says, it goes on to say, powerful and mighty is the human mind. It builds or it destroys. So we're trying to get the advantage. Amen. As man thinketh in his, the Bible says what? So is he. So we're trying to get the advantage. So the mind is powerful. It builds, it destroys. Playing upon this common weakness of fear, dispensers of patients' medicines have reaped fortunes. Now listen to this. It says, during the flu epidemic, and this is how the mind works. Amen. Ain't nothing happened, but physically you think it has. It says, during the flu epidemic, which broke out during the World War, the mayor of New York City took drastic steps to check the damage which people were doing themselves, all right, doing themselves, through their inherent fear of ill health or disease. He called in the newspaper men and said to them, gentlemen, I feel it necessary to ask you not to publish any scare headlines concerning the flu epidemic. Unless you cooperate with me, we will have a situation which we cannot control. The newspaper quit publishing the stories of the flu, and within a month, the whole epidemic was over. Within a month, the whole epidemic was over because they stopped scaring the people. So what was the real problem at? Right? Because they didn't give them medicine. And the reason they did this is because there was a group that was upset because they felt as though the medical, the pharmaceutical company was using the flu. This is almost 50 years ago, 60 years ago, was using the flu epidemic to get rich. So this was a testing. They stopped publishing it. And within a month, that shows you how powerful the mind is. Amen. It's called auto-suggestion. Nothing really has happened, but you feel as though it is. Amen? It says, through a series of experiments conducted some years ago, it was proved that people may be made ill by suggestion. They said they conducted this experiment by calling three acquaintances to visit victims, each of whom asked a question, what else? Now, there was nothing wrong with the people. This is the experiment. They would come in and ask, what ails you? Okay? And then they would follow it up with, you look terribly ill. The people were perfectly fine. This was an experiment just to show you the power of the mind and how you can beat yourself up and ain't nothing happening. Alright? It says the first question usually provoked a grin and a nonchalant, oh, nothing, I'm alright, from the victim. Then when the second questioner came in, usually was answered with the same man, I don't know exactly, but I do feel bad. What happened? They were perfectly well. There was nothing wrong. Amen. But the power of suggestion. Where is that fight at? Because physically nothing had happened. Amen. It says, and the third questioner was usually met with the frank admission that the victim was actually feeling ill. And they were fine, but this was just an experiment. They had one person go, then a little lady had another person come, and then the third person, by the time the third person came, the person was just terribly ill. And nothing had actually happened. Now let me ask you a question. If psychiatry knows this, does the devil know it? So what happens is God places us in a place for deliverance, but then the devil starts telling us lies. The first time we say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. But how many know he's coming back?
That's right.
And then by the time he finishes, you were all right, but now you're all beat up because he's playing in your mind. You have to be on guard. Whenever God blesses you, be assured the devil is coming to destroy that blessing. Amen. He's going to come to destroy that blessing. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 18, and I promise you, we got some more time with us first. Yeah, okay, I can do it. I promise you, we'll be out of the fans. Amen. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So 75% of physicians said, most of the people they treat, there ain't nothing wrong with them. It's all in the mind. Amen. People look downcast, can't get out of bed. You know, I told you on the story of a lady that was, for 20 years, was insane. Had to be waited on, couldn't help herself because she wanted to feel important. So her daughter took care of her for 20 years. She couldn't get out of bed, couldn't eat, couldn't work, couldn't do anything for herself. This is a true story. Her daughter died, and the lady, right after the daughter's death, got up and resumed normal living. So for 20 years, she had what kind of problem? It wasn't physical. She was all beat up, but nothing had actually happened. Our mind is the most powerful thing that God gave us the power to possess and control. Our mind is the most powerful thing that God gave. You know, no one else can control your mind but you. You decide what you will or you won't do. You decide what things you will allow to come into your mind, and you decide what things you allow to come out. The mind, that's the only thing that we have absolute control over. And what you do with your mind determines what you do with your life. What we do with our mind. No one else can control your mind unless you give them the control by listening to them. Just like the people that were perfectly healthy, and they allow someone else to plant a sickness in them that wasn't even there. As a matter of fact, they say, you know what, a lot of the doctors are doing now, and I hope your doctors aren't doing it to you, but what the doctors say, well, you need to change your environment. If you change your environment, and now, none of y'all have heard this, so I'm just saying, this is the new thing they're doing when they're really concerned about their patients and not trying to help the pharmaceutical companies get richer. Big Pharma, what they do is they change your environment. You need to move to another place and you'll feel a whole lot better. Right? That's the new medicine they're giving. Because you know what they're telling you? You don't have a real problem. Your problem is in your
mind.
So if you change where you are, change your environment, change your influences, you will feel
better.
Because you all be done. It ain't nothing. Ain't nothing happening, amen. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reads, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who? And not of? What's the treasure? The Holy Ghost. We got this in our earthen vessels. Amen. That the excellency, how many want excellency? Of the power may be of God and not of us. The problem? The reason we don't have our deliverance, we think we got the power. We don't have the power.
Amen.
The excellency of the power must be of God. Amen. No one else can help you but God. Amen. He's the deliverer. So if we are troubled on what side? Yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, cast down, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Peter said, if you don't suffer with him, you will not. Whatever God permits, we already read earlier, is for your good, for his good pleasure. And what we like to do, because we think everything should always be peaches and cream, when we get hardships and trouble, we think, oh God, why are you mad at me? God is trying to work some things in us, and God is trying to work some things out of us. Now, somebody said, how long am I going to go through this? You get it. Amen. God's not going to move you from one level to the next level till you get it. Because if God allows you to move with that messed up frame of mind to the next level, you're not going to try to get better. You're going to be happy where you are. So God said, you know what? I'm going to keep permitting that happen until you finally get it. Then when people see you, you'll see joy, happiness, and peace, because that's what comes in the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to have joy, you're supposed to have peace and happiness. It's all in the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost and the world looks at you and don't see Christ, there is a problem. If you got the Holy Ghost and the church look at you and you look all beat up, you can't even hardly, you know, you ever see some people that can't hardly walk? Just barely. What's wrong? Oh, you just don't know. Stop being all beat up. Ain't nothing happening. You got a mental beat down. And you need to tell the devil he's a liar because he was a liar. Let me ask you a question. Who do we really believe tonight? Do you believe God or do you believe the devil?
God.
All right, who do you believe?
God.
Because the devil is a liar? So why are you so downcast? Why do you act like there's no hope? When God does everything for your good pleasure, and it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when this, when you feel, have that mindset to say, oh, you know how the devil, oh, the whole world is against me. Oh, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, it's not going to make a difference anyway. Stop living that lie. If God be for you, who then can be against you? You mean your circumstances, your conditions, or whatever you're fighting has more power in you? Now, God didn't have to do anything but speak the world into existence. All he had to do was speak the world into existence. Everything God permits us to go through is a test. After the Lord had fed the 5,000, amen, and he sent his disciples away. He sent them away. He departed into a mountain a little while to pray. And then at the fourth watch, what time was the fourth watch of the night? All right, the first watch is between 6 and 9. All right, so the second watch is between 9 and 12. The third watch is between midnight and 3. So the fourth watch is between 3 and 6 in the morning. So somewhere after the Lord had finished praying all that time, between 3 and 6 in the morning, he came walking on the water. And the disciples looked up and they were fearful, but it was just a test. And we'll find out why it was just a test. They were fearful and they were afraid. And when the Lord said, be not afraid, it is I, Peter said, Lord, if it be you, then bid me to come unto you. So now Peter started walking on the water. Did anything change? No. But when the wind became more harsh, it was already a storm because it said they were roaring, but they couldn't get anywhere. Right? So then all of a sudden the storm got worse, and Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. Now, just to let you know, it was just a test. It says that the Lord, Peter said, Lord, save me. The Lord reached out and saved me. He said, but then immediately they were at the ship and the storm. So what was God doing? He was permitting them to go through a test. But he was already in control because time he got to the ship. Now, how you get in a storm roaring and going nowhere, and the Lord gets on board and everything in the storm ceases? Lord, thank you. Lord, I wonder how many of us are going through the storms of life. The reason that storm has not ceased is because you have not let Jesus fully on board. The Lord is trying to get to you, but you keep resisting him. It said when he came to the ship, immediately, not in a little while, not tomorrow, but immediately the storm ceased.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Get him on board. Stop fighting. If God be for you, who can be against you? Verse 12 reads, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Let's get down to verse 15 so we can get to the next thing. So y'all don't try to keep me on my clock. All right, verse 15 says, for what things? Come on, for what? For what? Stop right there. Whatever God is permitting to happen in all of our lives is not for our destruction. Is not for our demise, but it is for your sake. God is working and willing his good pleasure in your life, so he's allowing it to happen, because you know what God does, just like in the case of Job, he allowed hardship to reveal an inner character flaw that's in us. Our hardship reveals an inner character flaw so that we can work on it, amen, and then we can go to the next level. Because if God does not bring that inner character flaw out of us, we'd be just like Job. We'd start, instead of being and walking with God, we would start to fight God. Elihu asked him, he said, why contendest thou with God? If we don't allow those inner character flaws to surface so we can work on them and change, instead of us being with God, we'd be fighting and contending with God. Woe unto him that striveth against his master. Amen. We want to be on God's side. So it said, for all things are for your sakes, that the might through the what? What are you doing? Thank him anyhow. And all things give? Might through the thanksgiving of many to what? Redound a result till they learn to praise God. Whatever you're going through, praise him. Is it bad? Praise him. If it's good, praise him. Amen. Don't tell somebody you just don't understand. God knows, and God is permitting it to happen because he's in full control, and God knows how to fix it, and it's for your sake anyway. Amen. So you don't lose because God is doing it. You lose when you start to listen to that other mind. That other foolishness is not of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our Lord, I bless your name. God allows us to go to all that to try to kill this outward man. I believe, I forget if it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul was talking about the Lord's resurrection and the Lord changing us. Then Paul said, I die daily. Lord, kill me daily so that you can be magnified in my life. Lord, whatever you have to do, kill me so that you will be magnified. Amen. So Paul said, I die daily. He said, for this cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed. How? Every day God is working on you. So whatever you're going through, do it without disputing and without murmuring, that you may be blameless and harmless. The what? Sons of, you know what it said? No, you guys not a child of God, but you're a son and a daughter of God without rebuke. When you start, you know, like, oh, my life is this, my life is that, God says, I can't be glorified in that. And how's God going to get glorified in you messing up like that and just whoa, whoa, whoa? We're going to get to something else in a few minutes. I'm almost there. Amen. Verse 17 says, for our life, we don't, this is the principle of being beat up. And then nothing happened. Then we're going to go through an actual case of someone that was blessed mighty of God. Then they got beat up and then nothing happened. And we're going to see what they did to get beat up. They did a whole lot. Somebody said, if you're going to finish it, you better keep going. Amen. Let's go. For our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, working for us, and what? Whatever you're going through is working in your behalf. A far more exceeding and eternal way of glory. While we look not at the things which are, stop looking at your circumstances and look unto Jesus. While we look not at the things that are seen, at the things which are seen, but the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which you see are, they're gonna pass away. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Now let's go to 1 Kings. Chapter 18. We all know this story, but we're going to show you how the devil can beat you up, and God has already blessed you. God has already done something great, but you all beat up and running, and ain't nothing happened. Too much in the church, we're running. Amen. But I got to go through this fast because there's a whole lot of things that we are hitting. So verse 36 of 1 Kings chapter 18. We all know this is when Elijah is dealing, fighting the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the Grove. A lot of times, people say, oh, the prophets of Baal, I think they were 400. But he was also fighting the prophets of the Grove, which was 450. So actually, he was fighting 850. Amen. And he said, he gave them permission first. He said, the God that answered by fire, let him be God. Amen. And when he said it to the people didn't see anything. They couldn't make a decision as to who the true God was. Okay, so verse 36 reads, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. Amen. Just whatever you go through, say, Lord, I don't know what's going through, but just remember, I am thy servant. Amen. And that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their hearts. You know what he's saying? He said, you know what? God's people have drifted away. I don't know tonight who may have drifted away or who's questioning whether God's with or not. He says, you know, ultimately, God is permitting things to happen. God was using Elijah to turn the hearts of people back. Anybody that took it, get back. come back to God. Amen. Back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Take the prophet of Baal," and they killed all of them. And Elijah said to Ahab, verse 41, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance." But what was that? It was actually nothing. This was a faith move. Amen? Because nothing was there. He said, there's a sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Amen. In other words, you know what? Now, I already said it's enough for the prayer to make sure God makes this come to pass. Amen. He didn't just say that let it happen by happenstance. But now he's praying because nothing had changed. Everything was still the same. But he made a faith move. And in making the faith move, he went to the faith mover. Amen. How are you going to have faith without going to the faith mover? So he went to God. Amen. And he prayed and he said to his servant, "Go up, look towards the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And he said, "Go again." How many times?
Seven times.
Seven times. And it came back the seventh time and he said, "Behold, there is a rise of rain." How many know when God needs to do something? All he needs is just a little bit. Amen. A little cloud on the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariots and get thee down." Amen. And as he went, the hand of the Lord, verse 46, was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now God used a mighty. The hand of the Lord was on him. Now Ahab was in a chariot with a horse, running. The Spirit of God was on so mightily upon Elijah, he ran before him and beat him into the city. This is a move of God. God is mightily blessing Elijah. Amen? So now let's go to verse 19. This is where somebody's about to get all beat up. And ain't nothing. Now God just finished mightily using him. They just killed not 850 prophets of Baal in the grove. Amen. God sends the cloud, sends the rain. Then his spirit comes on Elijah, and Elijah outruns a chariot into the city. But how do you know the devil's never convinced? Amen. He's always going to destroy you. Verse 9:1 reads, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about.'" So this is a what? A threat. Amen. Just like a lot of us get all beat up. And what? Ain't nothing happened. Amen. And when he saw that, he arose. Wait a minute. Didn't he just destroy? A defeat 850 prophets. And at the threat of Jezebel, he does what? Flees. What had happened? Nothing. Just like many times in our lives. God has just blessed us mightily. And the threat causes us to run. He went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, Beersheba from Carmel was 80 miles. He tried to get away from Jezebel. So he flees 80 miles to Beersheba. And what had happened? You mean the same God that delivered you from 850 can't deliver you from this one woman? But the what? The threat. She put it in his mind. And that's what the devil does to us. Nothing has happened, but we all beat up. Running, you know the song said, running and ain't nobody chasing you. Just running, but he's running. And all she did was make a threat. The same God that kept him from 850, that kept him from one. Amen, but come on. All right, so it said, verse 4 said, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat on a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is, you know, he's doing this, saying, I can't take it no more. You just don't know what I'm going through. This is what this means. I can't take it anymore. This is just way too much. Anybody else talk like that? I know y'all didn't. I'm just saying, this is how he was. Y'all don't think like that. This is just too much. It's enough. I can't take it anymore. You just don't know. All right? This is like how he, we're better than that. Look at somebody and say, you're better than that. Y'all don't really believe me. You are better than that. You're better than that. Amen? So he says, enough. Now, Lord, I pray, take my life. Wait a minute. What did Jezebel do to him? What did she do? Just what? Spoke a word? Now, he's already ran 80 miles. Then he separates himself from his servant. And then he said, Lord, just take my life. Amen? Verse 5 says, as he lay and slept on a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he ate. Verse 7 said, the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, to the Mount of God. He had to get to the Mount of God. Now, Beersheba was 80 miles from Carmel, and then from Beersheba to the Mount of God was another 200 miles. So he went 280 miles running from Jezebel. And we're going to say, God is an amazing God, as we follow the story. So he's running from Jezebel. His servant was always with him. He's so beat up in his mind that he won't even take his servants with him. So he leaves his servant. So now one of the servants thinks, wait, this is our leader. This is our example. Why is he all beat up? After he just finished destroying all of these prophets, he's running from one woman. Then he, this is the devil tactic, When he got you on the run, I don't want to be around nobody. You know how that goes? The nobody syndrome. I don't want nobody around me. I just want to be by myself. But that's what's going on with Elijah. He don't want nobody around him. He don't want nobody helping him. Just let me be. That's when you know the devil's getting the advantage. When you start trying to isolate yourself. Because God does not want us to isolate ourselves from the saints. Well, we're supposed to insulate ourselves with the saints. Amen. The Bible says, where there's one, there's no strength. Where there's two, but he said a 3-4 cord is not easily broken. There's power in numbers, and there's power in strength. Amen. Strength in numbers. All right, I'm going to skip some of this because we need to save a little time. So he went 40 days to the Mount of Horeb. The Mount of Horeb was the Mount of God. This is the same place that Moses met, where God met Moses. Amen. And when God gave Moses command to go back and deliver his people out of Egypt, it's the same mount, but God gave Moses all of his commandment. As for Horeb was not just a mountain, but it was a series of mountain ranges, and Mount Sinai was also a part of this. So this is where God spoke to his people. Amen. Was Horeb. So, and it came to pass, verse 9, it came thither unto a cave, and Lot said, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, Elijah, what in the world are you doing here? Did God know what he was doing? Why he was there? Yes. But just like us, God says, I already know, but I want to give you a chance to speak for yourself. He said, Elijah, what in the world? Well, that's my way of saying it. He just said, what are you doing here? But paraphrase, he said, what in the world? After all that I've done, what are you doing here in a cave by yourself? After I just performed this mighty deliverance, after I made a way, what are you doing in the house, in the bedroom, with the lights out, and the door closed, and just looking at the black wall? That's what it was. He was in a cave. That's like nobody was at home. All the lights off. Everything. And they open the door, it's just me. Seriously, so Elijah's in this cave. right, but that's what happens to us. When you start, I can't do nothing today. I can't do nothing the rest of my life. Come on, get out of that. You all beat up, and nothing happened. Elijah's all beat up in a cave, and God's like, I know this is my servant. I know I just performed a mighty miracle. I said, what are you doing in the cave by yourself, Elijah? Amen. Can we say amen? And he said, I have been very jealous for God, for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, this is who you really mean. You just don't know what I'm just going through this. I'm going through this all by myself. Down south, you say, I'm going through this all by my lonesome. Y'all see that? Okay, but let's keep going because we're almost over. He said, I owe him death. And they seek my life. That's when you know the devil has you all messed up. The whole world, only you. Nobody knows, only me. He said, I am left. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and breaking pieces of rock before the Lord. But the Lord said, Lord, just show me something. And God said, why did he show you something? Do you believe me or not? So he goes, he said, this God wasn't in the wind, right? So after that, he says, verse, and then after the earthquake, it was an earthquake and a fire, but the Lord was not in any of that. So he said, you know what? I know God's with me. Something big, right? For God to speak, you gotta be something big. But then there was a still small. God has never changed. We always look for the great manifestation. I know God, just listen to the voice. Let have an ear to hear what God is saying to you. Amen. Still small voice. And it was so. When Elijah, he heard, he knew God's voice. And he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entry of another cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him. And God asked him again, what are you doing here? What doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Amen. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left. And then, now he's repeating the what? Same thing that he said before. This is how convinced he was that he was all by himself. Now he was all beat up, and guess what? Nothing had happened. He didn't see no sword. He didn't see nothing. Just the threat. Because it was where? In his mind. Amen. And the Lord said to him, go and return to the wilderness to Damascus. He said, you know what? You came the same way you came, you're going to go back. You know why? Because you were my prophet, and everybody watched you for those 280 miles, and you all be up. He said, guess what? You're going to go back the same way that you came. But you're not going to go the same way you came. You're going to go back different. Amen. You're going to go back different. Everybody saw you when you left, called down with the Bathsheba, and you didn't have no joy. Hey, you didn't have no spirit. God said, now, I'm not going to let you go back a different way, because you were dishonoring me. You were dishonoring the place that I put you in. Everybody saw you coming, and you looked all beat up. God says, you know what? I'm going to send you back the same way you came, so that all of those that you had messed up your testimony, somebody said, I got my testimony back. So God said, you're going back the same way you came. Can I get an amen? He said, go return the way of the wilderness, and when thou comest, anoint. Said, now you came messed up. You came with no joy. You came by yourself. He said, but now if you go back, you're going to do a work for me so that people can see that I'm still God. How does anybody want somebody to see in their life that he's still God? Then you need to go back the then you will go back on my word. So they can see that I'm still God. So he said, when you go back and anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. So you came one way, but you will not go back the same way. Amen. You're not going to be all beat up in this service. Because I am the Lord. Hallelujah. And besides me, no other. And Elijah the son of Shaphan of Abimelech, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elihu slay. He said, and just to let you know, as you're going back, he said, I have left me 7,000, and you're not by yourself. You're not doing this alone. He said, I have 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth which is not. You know, he said, stop being all beat up. God has a witness. May everybody that saw you come one way, brothers and sisters, don't let them see. You got to go back that same way you came. Because you lost your testimony. Amen. Now you got to get your testimony back. Isn't it amazing how God said, you know what? I'm not going to let you go back another way. Because if I let you go a different way than the way you came, the people are going to think there's nothing to me being your God and your deliverer. He said, so you came one way, but you're not going to leave the same way as we stand.
Hallelujah.
Tonight I wonder how many of us are truly all beat up and ain't nothing happened. Mentally beat down, and God is there for us. You don't have to stay in the state that you're in. Because the potter wants to make you. Back together all over again. As the elders, the ministers, and the altar team come forward, it's about change. Until the mind change, the body won't change. The battle starts in the mind. You have to change your mind. Change your disposition. When you go home tonight, put some bright lights. Don't put the curly bulbs in because they're not really good, those little curly bulbs. But brighten up your house. We used to sing the song down south, brighten up the corner where you are. Brighten up the corner where, if everybody brightens up the corner where they are, everything will be that much better. Go home, put some bright lights, get rid of all that darkness. The Bible said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Brighten it up. Show God, God, I want it to be different. Lord, I want to be different. Lord, I want to make a change. Amen. Stop being all beat up when nothing is happening.